thank you, Brenda, for those prayers. And Pastor Wade, for that welcome. Let me add my welcome to Pastor Wade. It's good to be here worshiping together today in this new year season. We're looking at starting fresh, but it's beginning to look a lot like Chinese New Year, isn't it? And we saw the slides up here. Definitely sign up to be a part of that celebration here. The other day, I was just walking in a street up above, and there's this local artist, and he was doing these Fai Chung, is that right? He was doing these celebration banners, and I started talking to him, and actually, I bought two of them. So I ended up buying one for Sun Tai Ging Hong, because I feel like I need some good health, and then I also bought Lung Ma Jing Sun's, because I felt like I'm getting to that age where I'm going to need that strength of a horse, strength of a dragon. So it is Chinese New Year. And between, or coming to Chinese New Year, between these two New Years, from the New Year that we entered into on the 1st of January, and then as we get ready to enter the Chinese New Year, we're looking at this series called Starting Fresh. What does it mean to start fresh? And we're looking at two big questions in this series. This series started not last week, but the week before. And we're looking at two big questions. First big question is, who am I? Who are you? This question of identity. And then the second question is also big, and that is, what do we do? What's the meaning of our work? And in between last week, we had Tricia Neal here. And she gave a short but powerful sermon. It was a short sermon. Some people were saying, how come you can't preach that short? You know, but anyway, she was good, and she gave us this acronym, FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, and she said the F can stand for forsaking, F-A, forsaking all, I trust him. And then she said, it's also feeling afraid, I trust him. And that's a good message for us, because if we're really going to be who God created us to be, our identity, we're going to have to forsake all, we're going to have to surrender all, we're going to have to be all in. If we're really going to do the work that he calls us to do, we also need to surrender. So it's a good message, and then I want to hold on to that. We'll come back to that later a bit. But this was the image that we used from the first one. So I'm going to do a little recap for the who am I identity. What we said is for the who you are, this is the sermon we did some 2 weeks ago. You can find it on the internet, but just a brief recap for us. We use the image of clay, and we looked at God as a potter, and we said that we have a true self and a false self, and our false self is always grabbing for affection, taking control, seeking security, but that's not who we are, because in Jesus Christ, we find our love, our true love in God. In Jesus Christ, we find our true security in God. And in Jesus Christ, we find our true meaning in God. And we talked about how our self, our true self, is not just fixed. God doesn't just say, okay, I created Steve, now Steve, kind of good luck, and you're on your own. What he does is he works with us. So this is a potter, and then one of those pair of hands is Lindy's hands. And the image here is that God is working with us, with the raw material of us. And he'll bring in us this beautiful masterpiece, this beautiful vessel that we sang about earlier. Make me a vessel. So if you're here today, you need to know and be reminded that you are beautiful in the eyes of God, that you are the beloved, that what you do, what we're going to talk about today, flows out of who you are. And that security which is in Jesus Christ. So having looked at who we are, we're going to look at this morning what we do. And we're going to change the image a little bit, right? So the image now we're going to look at is soil. We're going to look at this as kind of the raw material for our work and what we do. And the reason we're using this kind of raw dirt and clay is because we're looking at the core stuff of who we are. You see, in New Year's, quite often we make New Year's resolutions, right? And sometimes we make a lot of them. And sometimes they stick, but most of the times they don't, because we're working external. We're trying to change things outside of us. But what God wants to do is change things inside of us. So if we truly want a fresh start, he wants to deal with the dirt and the clay of who we are, the raw stuff. And dirt, soil, comes from the beginning in Genesis, where God took the dirt and he created you and me, and he blew this life into us. So what we're going to look at today is kind of shifting the image from God as a potter to God as a gardener. And as we look at this, we're going to talk about how we can garden with him. And we're going to look at this idea of soil. So if you want to look on your bulletin, and ushers, if you want to hand out pens, we can do that. And we're going to look at this passage together. It's a short passage, but a powerful passage. It's one that I believe may change the way we think about finding meaning. And that's my encouragement, is that we look at that. We look at the raw stuff that what we're made of. So this is Mark 4. Jesus has just given the famous parable of the sower. And then he gives a much shorter parable, which we find here. So Jesus says, after he says, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." So if you're underlining, I'm going to encourage you just to underline, "all by itself, the soil produces grain." What we're going to talk about today is soil and how that works in God's economy. It's a beautiful little parable because you see the co-gardening with God, right? We're out there plowing and getting the field ready, and then we're planting. But God is the one that makes it grow, and then we harvest, so we work together. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll come back and say, what does this have to do with us and our meaning and your work that you go to every week? So let's pray together. Jesus, I pray that you would teach us, that you would be the one who works in us to find our true identity. May we be free from the false self. And then when we know our true identity, God, or as we are crafting our true identity with you, may you, Holy Spirit, lead us to work that is meaningful. May you flow through us to bear this fruit for you in our world, God. So God, open our minds and our hearts today to hear what it is you're saying to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. There's this beautiful moment in the Old Testament where the people of God, like us, are on the boundary of the Promised Land. And Moses, the amazing leader, is there. And Moses is instructing them. And he's set apart 12 scouts or spies. And he's sending them into the land. And he's giving them instructions into the Promised Land to find out what the Promised Land is like. And there's this beautiful moment where Moses says this: "How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land," because it was the season for the first ripe grapes. And I think this is a little bit of an odd question, right? He's going in there, he wants to know what's going on, but he's not asking about the armament and the military. He's saying, "Tell me about the soil. What is the soil like," right? And then the scouts come back, and it's pretty good soil, apparently, right? Because they have these huge grapes that they're bringing back, because the soil is the key. And I want us to think about that. What is the soil that we are planting in? So when Moses asks, "How is the soil?" I'm going to ask that of you. How is the soil at your work? How is the soil at your home? How is the soil in this church? How is the soil in your heart? Because the soil is key. This last Thanksgiving, I had a chance to go back and be with Mom and Dad for Thanksgiving. And the beauty of 16-hour flights is you get to watch a lot of movies, right? And you can binge. And so I saw this one called The Biggest Little Farm. And it's a documentary from last year. And I think it's something of a modern-day parable for us. But it's a story about John and Molly. And John and Molly are living in L.A., a young couple, and they decide to go out and to start a farm, a biodiverse farm and a regenerative farm. So let me just think on those words with you for a while. Biodiverse means exactly that. It's not monocrop, because most economies have monocrop farms, right? And you just raise one thing, avocados or whatever, in that farm. But biodiverse is you create this huge culture of biodiversity. That was their vision and their dream. The other thing is it's regenerative. Regenerative, which means that a regenerative farm goes past organic, right? It's not just that you're not using pesticides. It says that you're actually putting life back into the ground. That the whole biodiverse system is regenerating life. And that was their vision. But that's not where they started. Where they started was finding this dirt, and the whole farm, this is going there into it, was basically just this type of clods. This is Molly here, and Molly's holding up this image of just dirt. And one of the powerful scenes of the movie is they're striking this dirt, this hard caked dirt with a shovel, and it's just spewing dust everywhere. That's what they found. And what they knew is that soil is the key. So stay with me here as we think about this, because what they had to do is they had to work hard to create this beautiful, rich soil. You can see the beautiful richness in the worms there. Worms are key to the soil, right? But it's this stuff. They produce stuff that actually generates life. They were doing this. They just did this 8 years before they made the movie. And when they were interviewed, they said one thing. The one key is the soil. And Jesus would say, yep, that's right. Because he told the parable of the sowers, right? And at the end of that, he said, others like seeds sown on good soil hear the word. And they accept it. And they produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times the seed was sown. You know, this parable is called, miscalled, the seed of the sower, right? You'll see it maybe in your Bible now because the Bible editors have put on there the parable of the sower, right? But it's really not about the sower because it's the same sower in every case. It's really not about the seed. It's really the parable of four soils. It's about the difference because Jesus says some seed landed on the path where it was hard, like what we saw in apricot farms at the beginning. And some seed fell right into the weeds. Was not ready for it. It choked it, what was growing. And he said some fell into shallow soil, so it looked good at the beginning, but it didn't last. And then some fell here. So what I want to do just for the next few minutes is really just ask this, go back to this question of Moses and to unpack it a little bit with you. How is the soil? How is your soil at work? And so right now, just think about your workplace, wherever that is, at home, at school, at the work, and just ask yourself the question, how is the soil in your workplace? Is it hard? Management writers like to use the word culture instead of soil. So they'll talk about a culture. What is the culture of your work? Is your culture of your work, are you kind of monocropping and you're kind of stripping the life out of everything to produce this one thing? Or is the soil in your workplace regenerative? Is it actually redemptive and restorative? Do people who come into your workplace, are they growing? Are they producing? Because the soil is the key of meaning in your workplace or in your home. So let's think about this just for a little bit because it's this is the area, I think, where we ask the question, is your work redemptive? Last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week ago Saturday, Faith and Work put on a brilliant seminar on the meaning of work, and Pastor Brenda talked about how work was beautiful in the garden, and then came Genesis 3, and there was the curse of sin. And with that curse of sin, then what happened? The land became hard. The soil was not rich anymore. They had to work it. It was toilsome. It was working in it. But what the Faith and Work team lifted up is that Jesus is a redeemer. And he's not only interested in just redeeming individual souls. He's interested in redeeming industries. Your industry, he's interested in redeeming and bringing back the original intention of that land, of that workplace where you are. Some years ago, one of our daughters was at Island School, and she was given an assignment. And the assignment was to go out. There's a group of them. They were going out, and they were interviewing truth tellers in our city. So they were to go out and to enter truth tellers. And then they were listed who the truth tellers were. So the first one was lawyers, right? Do you see how far maybe we've got a truth teller with lawyers? What was the second one? Media, right? Now, I was upset because pastors were nowhere on the list, right? And I thought, this is a sign, God, of the fall, because surely, but think about that. That is what lawyers do. They identify the truth. That is what media does. They tell the truth in its original intention of God. But how far we've fallen. But there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is not only redeeming your life, he's redeeming that workplace. And he's calling you to be a part of redeeming that workplace. There's meaning in that. How is the soil among your client base? How is the soil in your team? How is the soil when you're in your classroom teaching? When people come into that classroom, do they grow? Is it regenerative? So that's the first question I'd ask us to ponder is, how is the soil at your work? But then let's go on and say, how's the soil at home? What's that like? I mean, we're getting ready to go into Chinese New Year, and there'll probably be a lot of hard questions and conversations, and there may be some hard and awkward times around the family. I know in different other countries like Thanksgiving, that sometimes happens. What's the soil like in your home right now? Is the soil that you've created, is the environment that you've created, is the culture that you've created because of Jesus Christ, is it raising up strong and caring individuals? I read a story recently of this family, and they were convicted by Jesus that their home life was just too critical. Everybody was kind of critical of everybody. And so they made a commitment to each other, and it was a Sabbath commitment. They said, okay, on every Sabbath, on Sunday, there's zero tolerance for criticism. We're not going to have any criticism on Sunday. And they did. And what they found is a couple of things. They found one is the kids started staying around home a little bit more on Sunday. But then they also found this. Other kids began to come and hang out at their house because it was a criticism-free zone. It was a zone of safety. The soil was being regenerative. Now, as you're hearing this, you might be thinking, my kids have grown up. My kids have too. Our kids have too. But we can still work on the soil in our home. So they want to come home. So it's a regenerative place. So it's a creative place that's not stripping life out, but is actually putting life in. How's the soil in your home right now? And here's another question. How's the soil in our church? I think many of us feel that the church is on the edge of a new season, and we're going into the new season. And the question is, what's the soil like for our church in this new season? Is it good? Is it biodiverse? Is it regenerative? You know, when I'm sitting there in United Airlines seat 20C, I like to sit on the aisle watching these movies, and I saw The Biggest Little Farm, I had a little vision or a little image of community church. So I want to show you this a little bit. We need some volume. Maybe let's go back. Because I want you to hear the words as he talks. Is the volume up? All right, let's try again.
Our version of a farm would be different. Plants, wildlife, livestock, all working together.
Here they are, Emma the pig and Mr. Greasy the rooster, friends for life.
We wanted to believe that everything had a purpose.
Have you washed your hands, John?
The hardships we face make the dream itself feel so much more alive.
John, please be careful.
Okay, so a little spoiler, John's okay. But when I saw that, it was just an image for me of the beauty of this church. You know, right now, Apricot Farms has 250 different species of plants and animals all existing on this small little plot. And you could see the beauty of how they sculpted it. And I thought of community church because, you know, we have that biodiversity, right? As we look around, we're all different countries. We're all different socioeconomic. We're all different in our political views. We're all different in our theological views. And yet we come together and in the grace of Jesus Christ, the soil that we want to have is to be regenerative. That we don't take life from one another, but that we put life into each other. That the soil here is one of encouragement. That the soil here is one of generosity. That the soil here is one of gratefulness. What else needs to be in that soil? Because it takes hard work to work the soil. It took Apricot Farms about 2-3 years to get the soil right. They had to take it, and they had this complicated way of enriching the soil. What's the soil like in our church? What do we want it to be like? Because as we go into the new season, we're going to need good soil. How is the soil in our church? And the last, and this is where we'll close. How is the soil in your heart? How is the soil in our hearts? And that goes back to Jesus, where he's explaining to his disciples. He said, actually, it's not about soil. It's about hearts. And you know, you're the common denominator in all of these things, your place of work, your church, your home. How's your heart? Is it soft? Is it plowed and ready for the word of God to come in you and through you so that you become this river of life, not a reservoir just holding it for ourselves, but flowing through us? How is your heart? Because if it's hard, and it's that image. Do you see that image of the shovel? If that's your heart, then nothing's going to grow there. We're going to come in here, and we're just going to hear, and we're going to leave, and it won't penetrate. But if the soil in our heart is good, there will be life. Life abundant, biodiverse, regenerative. I believe that's a word for us this morning. How is your heart? How is your soil? Do you want a fresh start? As we go into this new season, this new year, do you want a fresh start? Do you want to really have the courage to say, I do. I want to find my true self. I don't want to be living in the false self anymore. Jesus, be the potter that works with me to create this beautiful vessel for your love. That can be yours. And then the work flows out of you. And then you have this beautiful meaning. And you work on the soil to keep it fresh and vibrant. And then it produces life. So let's do this. Let's just take a moment of prayer. And think and respond. Not quickly, but just we'll take a 2 minutes of silence. And in this silence, you may want to close your eyes. We did a prayer a couple of weeks ago of release and receive. If there's something you need to release, you can put your palms down. If there's something you need to receive, you can put your palms up. But maybe with just palms up, receive. Receive the goodness that God has for you. The true self. You don't need to grab for affection. You don't need to seek security. These things are found in Jesus Christ. So maybe just have a quiet conversation with him.